Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
One of the big things that I learned from our series on Vallejo Police a few weeks back is that many people who live there don't feel like they're being heard by the city. And this is a tune that seems to be playing on repeat.
Absolutely have no faith in the police to police themselves. None whatsoever.
This week, the Vallejo City Council approved a new contract with the police department that gives officers a 5% pay raise. But that's not what people are really concerned about. The new contract also limits when officers get drug tested. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to The Bay.
So I got this text message from one of my sources in Vallejo, and she basically was like, hey, did you know that the Vallejo Police Union is basically trying to limit when officers can be required to submit to drug and alcohol testing?
Our producer, Erica Cruz Guevara, has been reporting on Vallejo Police for KQED. If you haven't yet, go back and listen to some of the episodes we put out a few weeks back.
And she told me that this change that the police union was proposing was essentially buried within almost 900 pages of this staff report that the city had released ahead of the city council meeting. She also told me that residents were preparing to protest the city council meeting this week.
How did this city council meeting feel compared to other meetings in Vallejo that you've been to?
Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Vallejo City Council. It is 7:03 p.m.
Well, so I get there, and as soon as I walk into the city building, there are about five officers standing in the lobby. And then I get into City Hall, and it's pretty clear who is there to protest this change to the MOU. There are residents who are sitting with these bright yellow stickers plastered on like their heads and on their T-shirts and on their clothes that say coked cops kill.
And that's a reference to drugs.
Right.
What was the mood when you went in? I mean, clearly there are people who are ready to talk to the city council, but did it feel like previous meetings?
It actually kind of felt like Vallejo residents have this thing down. Like they've done this before. They've had plenty of chances to come up to city council and share their opinions about what's happening in the city. And I think it was just another one of those days for those residents.
Madam Clerk, next item, please.
Authorize a supplemental agreement between the City of Vallejo and the Vallejo Police Officers Association and authorize a change in the VPOA salary schedule.
And so what was the city council deciding at this meeting?
So city councilors were deciding on whether or not to approve this new contract with the police union. And, you know, as part of that contract, there was a 5% pay raise. But also buried in there was this change over when a police officer could be subject to drug and alcohol testing.
So what's the current policy now? And then how did the police union want to change it?
So currently, a police officer could be subject to a drug or alcohol test if there is reasonable suspicion for it. But also, there are these special circumstances where there might not be reasonable suspicion. And that is after a police shooting, after a vehicular accident, and after any instance where an officer killed someone or caused any sort of bodily harm to them.
And so that's the current policy. What do they want to change in that policy?
So the police union wants to basically remove this entire section of special circumstances for drug or alcohol testing.
And so by removing these special circumstances, now how is it going to be decided whether they check an officer for having drug or alcohol in their system?
Right. By removing these special circumstances, it makes it definitely less clear when an officer could be subject to a drug or alcohol test. And now it'll just be up to what a supervisor decides is reasonably suspicious.
And reasonable suspicion, I imagine that's like if an officer smells of alcohol or is stumbling around, that's reasonably suspicious.
Right.
So this seems a little bit strange because it seems like it's taking oversight away from the process the department currently has in place when something goes wrong with a police incident. Did people bring this up at the meeting?
Yeah.
So I absolutely have no faith in the police to police themselves and to say that something is reasonably suspicious.
There's a resident named Lisa Davis who basically went up and told city councilors, I don't trust the police to police themselves.
None whatsoever. So I'm counting on you to do the right thing, because I really expect my council members to have integrity and a backbone.
And so people are definitely paying attention to this, and they're voicing their concern. What did the city council members say about this? Because they're the ones ultimately making the decision to approve this contract.
A bunch of council members had a lot of questions for Human Resources Director Heather Ruiz about, you know, who gets to decide what's reasonably suspicious? What does that even mean?
In your experience, that is the common language in cities?
Yeah, many cities have moved to a reasonable suspicion standard. As the chief mentioned, that is the standard in the law. And as the manager mentioned, the standard in employment law is a reasonable suspicion standard.
Thank you.
The city councilors seem to be a little bit more focused on the larger parts of the contract agreement.
It's a difficult decision, and I'm going to vote for this contract. And it's,
as I mentioned, this is just one small change in hundreds of pages. And ultimately, sort of what rose above everything was this concern that city councilors had of retaining and hiring good officers. They're saying, you know, I think we should move forward with just passing this thing. It has a 5% pay raise that we all agree with. And I think that that's really important.
And I know it's going to make people unhappy, but it's really, we need more officers, and that's the bottom line. And we have to be somewhat competitive. We're no longer the top of the market, but we do have to be competitive to attract more officers, to fill the positions that we can't even fill.
At the end of the day, the council approved this new contract. Only one city councilor voted against the contract, specifically because of this change over substance testing.
I am in agreement with the increase in the salaries, and I would like to vote to support that. But I'm told that I cannot vote on parts of this. I must vote it up or vote it down. And that leads me to the problem, which is the mandatory drug testing aspect of it.
Robert McConnell is a city council member who voted against the contract. And he basically said, you know, this change is moving us into very obscure territory. We're making it less clear when an officer could be subject to a drug or alcohol test. And I don't know that that's the right direction we should be moving.
My preference would be actually to send this back to you who negotiated this. And the VPOA, so the two sides here could possibly come up with a better definition of when each side would expect this mandatory testing to be done. Otherwise, we're leaving it in the abstract notion, and I can't really support that difficulty either. I think it's not solving or addressing the problem.
Did the police union say anything about this change?
I reached out to the police union and didn't hear back at all. But Joseph Leo, who is currently the interim police chief at Vallejo Police Department, said, you know, this change to this reasonable suspicion standard is just standard practice. It's in line with industry best practices.
Reasonable suspicion is a law. It came into law in 1968 when the Supreme Court said that as we look at each other constitutionally as citizens, including police officers on or off duty, reasonable suspicion is that tool which we can use to try to determine whether someone is under the influence.
It's important to note, too, that, you know, in other parts of the country, there are a lot of debates about whether an officer should be subject to a drug or alcohol test. In fact, the Pittsburgh Police Union filed a civil rights grievance over drug and alcohol testing, and their argument was that testing basically amounts to an illegal search and seizure in violation of an officer's constitutional rights.
Is this language that Vallejo has in its contract unique to that city, or do other departments also have it?
Yeah, I was curious about that. So I looked at five different memorandums of understandings between local police departments and their respective cities. I looked at Concord, Vacaville, Berkeley, Oakland, and Fairfield. And actually, it's interesting because Vallejo was actually pretty unique in having very specific language of when an officer could be subject to drug or alcohol testing. Most of these MOUs didn't even mention drug or alcohol testing. Only one did, which was Fairfield, and they also have a reasonable suspicion policy for drug and alcohol testing.
That's so fascinating. And so this, again, like I just wonder why draw attention to something that seems like it's still a subjective call for the police department, especially at a time when people are looking at Vallejo's police department and with a lot of questions and a lot of anger.
Why now?
That's something that this one woman I spoke to, her name is Judge Ladoris Cordell. She's a former Superior Court judge in Santa Clara County and former independent police auditor for the city of San Jose. And she actually commended the city of Vallejo for having such a clear policy like the ones that they had. But
it is not a justification to say, well, other police departments aren't doing this. That's not a justification. The fact is other police departments should have this kind of a provision, and this department should be proud that they have it. So the fact that they've taken it out, I think, is not good. It is a lose-lose for everybody, and it just feels to me like, you know, the department is encouraging kind of a cover-up here.
Well, just thinking, so like, just because other departments don't have this language doesn't mean that Vallejo can't have this language.
Right.
Thank you for doing such a great job protecting the people of this city and holding the police accountable. That's what it can sound like if you stand up and demand that drug testing remain in police contracts. The language change is bogus.
Residents are really looking at what the city is doing in response to these protests and how it's going to hold its police officers accountable after these high-profile police shootings. And I think a lot of residents saw this as another opportunity for the city to either do better or continue with the status quo.
Would you vote, please?
Motion carries with Councilmember McConnell opposed.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to take a 15-minute recess.
It seems like for the residents who showed up, this change in policy is a huge deal. It represents a lot, including transparency from a police department, which they don't feel like is very transparent right now. On the other hand, it feels like from the city's perspective, the bigger picture is getting this contract passed.
Yeah, I think there was hesitation over having to return to the negotiation table after 9 months negotiating over this contract. And to go back and to quibble over this line or to quibble over this section of the MOU all over again seemed like too high a price to pay.
Well, I'm thinking about like the stories that you reported on and thinking about like the lack of transparency that people feel exists in Vallejo, even though this seems like such a small change in the contract negotiations in the contract, I still feel like there's as much pressure from residents on City Hall to pay attention.
Yeah, totally. And the weird thing is that once the vote happened and the result was 6-1, this thing passes, I was basically sitting there anticipating, you know, some sort of uproar or some sort of reaction or response from people in the crowd. And I almost like couldn't really tell what was happening. It was just sort of like, it almost just felt like, oh, this is just another day in Vallejo. The residents didn't get what they wanted.
The city of Vallejo has asked an independent company to audit its police department. Meanwhile, the city's new police chief, Shawnee Williams, will begin in November. Williams is a deputy chief for the San Jose Police Department. To listen to our previous series on Vallejo policing reported by Erica Cruz Guevara, check out our episode notes. We'll have a link for you there. The Bay was produced this week by Erica Cruz Guevara and Angela Corral, and our editor, Erica Aguilar. KQED's leadership team includes Julie Kane, Vinny Tong, Ethan Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. I'm Devin Katayama. Have the best weekend ever. We'll talk to you Monday.
Do you love learning about the San Francisco Bay Area? Its history, its people, its unique blend of cultures? Then you should check out the Bay Curious book. I'm Katrina Schwartz, editor and producer on the Bay Curious podcast, and I'm here to let you know that for the month of May, we've worked out a sweet deal for KQED podcast listeners. Right now, you can get the Bay Curious ebook for $1.99. That's right, $1.99. Just search for Bay Curious wherever you get your ebooks or find a link in our show notes. This offer does expire at the end of the month, though, so you'll want to act on it fast. Happy reading!
Hey, it's Avery Truffleman, host of Articles of Interest, and I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid, and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.